Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to Hebrew chapter 3, verse 1. Today I'm going to talk about the mystery of the branch. The Bible speaks of Christ being the branch, but there's a mystery that's all wrapped up in this particular revelation of Him as the branch. We're going to look at that in the light of the prophecies that were spoken about these particular operations. Hebrews 3 and 1 says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling..." Say heavenly calling. Christ was not an earthly high priest. He was a heavenly high priest. That's where our tabernacle is. That's the tabernacle we have a right to eat of. In fact, in Hebrews 13 says we have a tabernacle to eat from that they that serve the earthly tabernacle had no right to. Amen. Ours is the heavenly tabernacle. He is the heavenly high priest. He says, consider the apostle and high priest, he linked those two together. His apostleship was in the midst of the calling or the mantle of being a high priest. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, I want to look at this first because Hebrew defines Christ. Both of these roles heavily in the book of Hebrews are defined, his priestly ministry and his kingly ministry. We're going to look at some of this today. In fact, it says that he's called after the order of Melchizedek. And we know that Melchizedek was what? A king and a priest. In fact, it was said seven times that Christ was called after that order. This is very important for the generation that we live in, because we are living in the generation where he's going to manifest his kingly anointing. He's going to manifest. He built the church as a priest. He built the foundation. He's going to finish it as a king. You want to write that down. He built the foundation as a priest. We're going to look at this today. He's going to finish the temple as a king. He's coming back as a king. Amen. Now that's very important because he's coming back with a bride that's going to manifest his kingly anointing in the earth. We'll get into that. Now go back to Zechariah chapter 3, it's Old Testament book, very powerful little book. This particular chapter, and especially chapter 4, I've been carrying in my spirit for 25 years, just about a quarter of a century, and I didn't understand hardly any of it, though the Lord gave it to me as the word for my life. Most of the revelation came in the last 2 months in this series we called The Golden Lampstand. It's very, very, very powerful for the day we're living in. If you understand the golden lampstand, have been following along. Amen? We're going to look at Joshua. Now, this is not the Joshua with Moses. This is the Joshua with Zerubbabel, the ones that came out of Babylon. This particular Joshua was the high priest. Now, when you see Joshua and you see Zerubbabel, both of them were foreshadowing the ministry and the operations of Christ. Joshua was foreshadowing Christ as the high priest. And he's going to show you some things here in chapter 3. And we're going to look at that. And then we're going to bring it in chapter 4. Then we're going to look at the mystery of the branch. So let's look at verse 1 in Zechariah 3. "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this the brand that was plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and he stood before the angel. And he answered and spake those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused, this is this, thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." Now, I want you to look at verse 8 for a moment, because it's very important to understand what was going on with Joshua and Zerubbabel. Look at this, verse 8 said, "Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and the fellows that sit before thee or sit with thee, for they are men wondered at, symbolic of things to come. And behold, I'll bring forth my servant, the branch." So he's telling Joshua, he says, everything I'm doing with you, Joshua, and the men, we're going to look at the men that sit with him later on in the message. He goes, what I'm doing with you is symbolic of something else to come. What you're doing right now is symbolic. In fact, the verses I just read to you were symbolic of Christ in his crucifixion, when he became a sin offering for humanity, Christ, he goes, I plucked you out of the fire. Christ became our sin, went to hell in our place. God plucked him out of the fire. What did he do? He changed his raiment, brought him up out of hell, and then resurrected him. In fact, Daniel saw that resurrection. I saw him go before the Ancient of Days, and there was given him a glory and a kingdom and a dominion. Said this was Christ in his priesthood, because he's what? The lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. You're going to hear him referred as the lamb, and you're going to hear him referred as the lion. Those are two different ministerial operations. One of the primary ministerial operations of the early church, and what we would call the foundation of the church, was the lamb. The lamb was his priestly function. That's what the high priest did. They came into the Holy of Holies, and they presented the blood of the lamb every year for the atonement of the people. That's what Christ did. He went in once into the Holy of Holies, and he satisfied God for all eternity. Now, what they're speaking of Joshua here is more the foundation of the church, or what the early church, almost their entire responsibility, the entire government that they were establishing was his priestly government, because they were taking the blood of Jesus. We're still taking that blood. But you have to remember, nobody knew about this. I mean, they had to introduce a brand new covenant. Amen? We know about that in our generation now. They had to introduce that. Amen? Now, listen to this in verse 8 again. It says, hear now, O Joshua, because I want to get into this. There's two different stones spoken of here. There's a stone in chapter 3, and there's a stone in chapter 4. There's two different people laying these stones. In chapter 3, the stone is referred to with Joshua. In chapter 4, it's with Zerubbabel. This is very important what's going on here. Say, hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and your fellows that sit with you. You are men wondered at, or you're symbolic of things to come. What I'm doing with you is symbolic for another day. He just described him as really the sacrificial lamb. And he's come out of the fire. He had a change of raiment. He goes, I'll take your iniquity from you in a day. He's describing the foundations of his priestly office. The office of the high priest was to offer or sacrifice himself upon that altar. And for his blood, that everlasting blood, to have everlasting remission of sin. Amen? He said, behold, I'll bring forth my servant, the branch. Branch hasn't come yet. The branch is coming. Say, the branch is coming. Branch is for another day. Is the branch in the root, or is the branch at the end of the tree? Is it the branch at the beginning of the tree or the end of the tree? So the branch is not the foundation, the branch is the end. Now look at verse 9. This is a really important verse. Zechariah 3, verse 9. For behold, the stone that I have, the King James says laid, but the way it should be read is the stone that I have set before Joshua, upon that one stone shall be seven eyes. And I will engrave the engraving thereof, saith the Lord, and I will remove, look at that, the iniquity of that land in one day. That stone was directly speaking of the foundation cornerstone that Christ laid in the early church, and the apostles and the prophets spent most of their ministry and most of their days laying that foundation stone. You got to understand the terminology around that stone. We've been in it a lot. It said that stone had seven eyes. Now, we understand what those eyes are, but let me read it to you in the Amplified to make it a little bit more sense. He says, behold, upon the stone that I set before Joshua, upon that one stone are seven eyes or facets, the all-embracing providence of God and the sevenfold radiations of the Spirit of God. Now, we know the seven eyes of the Lord. We know that that is speaking of course, we've been in this series. We've proven it. It's speaking of the Holy Spirit and his operations. He's referred to as the seven spirits of God. He's also referred to as the seven eyes of the Lord in the book of Revelation. So don't get that terminology up in your head and I lose you there. Amen? He said, but on that stone, that early foundation stone. And remember, Joshua is the high priest. He's typifying Christ. He's going to lay this foundation stone in. And upon this stone, the ministry of the Holy Spirit was there. The providence of the Holy Spirit was there. The operations of the seven spirits of God were there. The Holy Spirit was with him in his ministry. He was with him all the way to the time he sacrificed himself upon the altar. That stone right there that's speaking, that was the foundation stone. Behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a sure stone, a precious cornerstone. It was a foundation stone, Isaiah called it. Zechariah prophesied that Joshua, he says, I've set this foundation stone before Joshua. It was his responsibility to set that stone in. And he was setting in with the Holy Spirit. All that imagery is what that means. Now that's important when you move into chapter 4 and understanding God had set the foundation stone in with Joshua, because that was the priestly ministry of Christ. Remember this. The early church laid the foundation stone. The latter-day church lays the final headstone. You had two stones in the temple. Amen? So the foundation stone was laid by the priest, the high priest, Christ. The final stone's going to be laid, set in by Christ, but not by his priestly ministry, but by his kingly ministry. He came first as a high priest. He's coming again as a king. Now, he was a king in all his right, but the manifestation of his kingly anointing is yet to come. All of the early church was built around that one stone. He said that stone had seven eyes with the sevenfold providence of the Holy Spirit. The seven spirits of God were there. Revelation 5:7 spoke of the seven eyes. I saw a lamb that was slain. See, the lamb was the high priest ministry. He had seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. That means the Holy Spirit was with him in his ministry as a high priest. The lamb and the high priest was the same thing. You understand that? That was his earthly ministry, and that was the foundation stone that he laid. He's coming back again in our generation to lay another stone. We are being prepared for a final stone to be set in the temple. We are all living stones, but he's going to set a headstone. And it's very important to understand the first ministry, he came as a high priest. He came as a lamb that was slain to lay that foundation. The last, when he comes again, he's coming as a king with the dominion and the authority. He's coming to rule and to reign with his people. There's going to be a whole other anointing come upon the body of Christ. We are set for this time. That's why in this particular chapter, chapter 3 is laid, then he shifts to chapter 4. See, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone. Christ, the high priest, laid the foundation stone. Christ, the king, is going to lay the headstone. They're two different moves of the Holy Spirit, two different operations. The final move will have everything the early church had. I'm going to show that to you if you'll stay with me. The final move will not have only all the ministry of the high priest, but it's also going to have the ministry of the king. And this is what Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, was looking into. He says, look, let's leave this foundation. He goes, we've laid this foundation. See, he knew it. He knew that their generation was to lay that foundation stone. To lay the blood of Jesus. To lay the new creation reality. But he saw another operation after the order of Melchizedek. He wanted to bring the church into the kingly authority. He saw and said, let's go into the perfection. Let's go. And he ordered after the order of Melchizedek. Let's go into the fullness. See, there was two different governments. We're still in that first government because the king had to come and restore. Go to chapter 4. Now, chapter 4 speaks of Zerubbabel now. Zerubbabel is a king. He comes from the lineage of Judah. They wouldn't let him call him a king because they were in Babylon. They called him a governor, but he was of the lineage of the Judean kings. His whole right, he was a king. Now, he is foreshadowing Christ as well. But But he's foreshadowing another day. Chapter 3, you can look at early church. Chapter 4, Latter-day church. Chapter 3, first century. Chapter 4, 21st century. Amen. Chapter 3, foundation stone. Chapter 4, headstone. Why is that important? Because everything in that lampstand is yet to come. It is an operation of God that is coming upon the earth. It's the final light that God's going to give to all humanity. He speaks of two olive trees, a golden bowl. We've been into all this, but I can't get into that. I'm going to shift straight into Zerubbabel here. In verse 7. Now you're going to have to hang on because I'm going to give you a mystery today. Hallelujah. Everything I am telling you, this chapter, everything it represents. Now remember about Joshua that he was what? A sign or a symbolic of things coming, and the men that sat with him. Because they had something else to do. There was still another ministry yet to come for them. Let's look at Zerubbabel for a minute. Now this is the kingly. This is the generation we live in. Christ is going to move by way of the kingly anointing. His bridal company is going to move. There's going to be a season where God's people will rule and reign with Christ to manifest not only the priesthood of Christ, the salvation, the foundation, but it's going to manifest the fullness of his government. There's going to be dominion. His people are going to walk like he walked. His people are going to manifest the kingdom of God by way of the same Holy Spirit that rested upon him. But you're going to see those works. You're going to see that dominion. You're going to see that authority. Not only are you going to see it, you're going to be used in it. God's going to use his bridal company in the last days. We are on the precipice right now of this happening. Zechariah 4 verse 7 said, "Who art thou, O great mountain?" It seems like a great mountain until God moves it by grace. There's two mountains, really. That's why he says something here. He says, "Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become leveled ground. You shall bring forth the what? Headstone." See, it's a different stone in chapter 3. The high priest, Joshua, is laying the foundation stone. That's the one that you received when you were born again. That's the rock you stand on. That's what the early church laid for you. That was their job. Paul wanted to get the church to where we're about to go. Hallelujah. The first thing he's going to do is he's going to turn his church upside down. The whole pattern of the church is going to be turned straight upside down. Everybody that goes to church in this day and hour, especially the American church, they look at a pattern. They see a pattern. And sometimes it all looks really nice, but it doesn't have the full essence of God. Because when God turns it upside down, he's going to turn his people upside down, and then his people are going to turn the cities upside down they live in. But he's going to do this with kingly authority. Now, they had authority in the early church, don't get me wrong. They had power in the early church. Their powers was to bear witness of his resurrection, to build and to plant that foundation stone in the world. And they did it. The whole world was born out of that foundation stone. Every person that's ever been born again had to come out of that foundation. And the early church and the early apostles laid that. We're living in another hour now. It says Zerubbabel is going to bring forth the headstone. Final stone, crying grace, grace on the mountain. The reason why he cries grace, there was two graces. One for the first stone, one for the final stone. First stone grace, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Getting everybody out of the law into the new covenant. But there's another grace, getting everybody out of dead, powerless church into the kingdom. Authority and dominion that God promised Christ, a seed would serve you and it'll be accounted as a generation. A seed would rise. A people would rise. A bride without spot or wrinkle. That's not going to happen until that kingly authority shows up in the earth. There's another move of God coming. A prophesied ordained. It's coming by way of Zerubbabel. King Christ the King. Zerubbabel is foreshadowing Christ as the King. And he's going to lay the headstone. He's going to do it with his people. With me and you. It's going to be an anointing. That everything the early church had is the priestly government. And the final government. The kingly authority. This is when he confronts the whole world. The rider rides victorious through the land. The victorious war horse that's released into the land. Hallelujah. The enemy would surely not want anybody to hear these words. Verse 8. This Zerubbabel, Christ, this headstone ministry, headstone move of God, headstone operation is actually prophesied in the book of Revelation, as we all know. Notice what he says, verse 9. The hands of Zerubbabel has laid the foundation of this house. Notice that's past tense. But I thought Joshua the high priest laid the foundation. He did. But you know that that foundation was lost in the dark ages. Christ the King. Do you know, up until Martin Luther, they didn't even believe in justification by faith. They were selling indulgences. Paying for salvation. They had lost it all. And Martin Luther nailed the 99 thesis there. Bam. Started the whole move of God. Do you know who was instrumental behind all of that? It was Christ the high priest. But it was Christ the King preparing for his final reign. And he's been doing it ever since then. He had to relay or restore the foundation. See, Christ the King is the one restoring the foundation. Why? Because he's about to lay another stone. And he had to get the first stone restored because the church lost it. That's why he says Zerubbabel had laid. And then notice what he says. It's finished. That foundation's done. Because that's where we are right now. We're not in the 16th century relaying that. He has already relayed that stone. The ministry of Joshua the high priest, Christ, the sacrificial lamb, the high priest, the apostle, the high priest, our collection, that ministry has been laid. Every one of us are born again. We're on that rock. We're on that foundation. But God's got something else. The hands of Zerubbabel, Christ, the King, he's relayed that foundation. See, that's past tense now. The foundation's there. Just like Paul said, look, let us leave this foundation. Not leave it. Let us build off of it and go on now into the perfection. He saw another government in the book of Hebrews, and he wanted in. He saw it after the order of Melchizedek. He saw the kingly reign. That's why he said, it's after the order of Melchizedek, after the order, seven times. The perfection of this government, he mentioned it seven times in the book of Hebrews. So the hands of Zerubbabel has laid the foundation of this house. That's past tense, or he's relayed it because it was lost. It was never really lost. As far as God was concerned, but as lost in the world, God had to restore it. Everything God's doing in this restoration hour. Everybody's always wanting to go back to Azusa Street. Azusa Street was just a restoration of what they had in the beginning. You don't want to go live in Azusa Street. There's something else coming. There is an Azusa that's going to knock your socks off. It's a revelation of Azusa. It's got everything the early church had, but it's got something more because the King is doing this one. He's coming to lay the headstone. And there's something in that headstone. Just like there were seven eyes, there was operation of the seven spirits of God in that foundation stone. There's another headstone coming. And there's another operation of the Holy Ghost in there. It's his kingly authority. It's the dominion everyone's looking for. It's the sons and daughters, the kings and priests reigning in the earth. It's the white horse that's riding victorious through the land. It's the victorious war horse that's yet to be released out of heaven. You're going to know it, because when God opens that seal and that horse runs, God's going to announce it to the world. How do you think he's going to announce? He's going to raise you up to bear witness of it with power. Power that the world hasn't seen. Since the days in the ministry of Christ himself. Authority over land and seas. Commanding the fish of the ocean. commanding the gold, multiplying the bread upon the waters, manifesting himself as king and priest through his people. That's the headstone. Zerubbabel, he's in the process of setting it. Now notice what he says. The hands of Zerubbabel has restored or relaid the foundation of this house. Look at this. His hands now will finish it. Say, finish it. That is yet to come. Thou shalt know the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Verse 10. For who have despised the day of small beginnings? See, you're in the small beginnings right now. The small beginnings of the last days. The small beginnings of the final headstone to be laid. Doesn't look like a headstone's being laid. Doesn't look like the king's reigning in authority. He's not yet released. He's getting ready to release it out of the right hand of God. For they shall rejoice, say they, to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. See, he's got the plumb line ready to finish and build and set the final stone. The plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. What seven? The seven eyes. Remember, the seven eyes are the seven spirits of God. The Revelation says they are. Seven spirits of God is the Holy Spirit, because Book of Revelation says the seven spirits of God are the Holy Spirit. So what he's saying here, Zerubbabel, the king, he's setting this final stone. The plumb line is the hand of Zerubbabel with the same seven spirits of God that were with him as the high priest. The same seven spirits of God are there with him, but there's going to be another element with him. Now remember those seven eyes, all right? He goes, the plumb line, the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven, they're the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro the whole earth. These eyes, don't get mixed up eyes. This is just terminology describing the person of the Holy Spirit, the one that was with him in his ministerial high priest office of the early church. Those eyes are still, that operation of the Holy Spirit is still in operation today. Amen? He's building with those, but he's going to build with something else too. There's something else coming. Now, Hebrews not only describes his office as high priest, but also describes his office as a king. He's appointed him. Listen, I mean, in the first three chapters, the first thing Hebrews sets is his kingly authority, because the book of Hebrews was looking into something else. You know how many times he said perfection? 12 times. Speaking of apostolic perfection, the book of Hebrews was looking into another operation after the order of Melchizedek, because they all were in that priestly ministry of Christ in the blood of Jesus, the foundation. He goes, now let's leave this foundation. Let's go to the perfection. Because the writer of Hebrews, which I believe Paul, you had compassion in me in my bonds. He was the one in bonds all the time. Sounds like his writing, writes like him, meditates like him. That book was trying to bring them to another place. The first thing that book does is establish his kingly authority. Hebrews 2, hath in these last days spoken us by his son, whom he what? Hath appointed heir. He's spoken to us when? In these last days, he's speaking to us by his what? Appointed heir. His son. But then he goes on to say something. Now, this is very important. This appointed heir, he's going to describe him as a king. In fact, the book of Hebrews establishes kingly authority first, because it's speaking of another day. This is what's coming, my friends. We haven't seen the kingly authority of the kingdom of God. If we have, we've seen it in just foreshadowing little operations of things to come. God might give us a dose here or a dose there. God may raise up somebody to have a little dose. But the full measure of it's coming. It's going to be released by way of Christ the King when he lays the final headstone in place. Amen? He's describing his kingly authority. And look at verse 5 of chapter 1. He says, of which the angel said any time, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. He says, I've appointed you heir of all things as the king, right? But then he follows that up with a verse. I'm in Hebrews 1. Anytime he establishes authority of the angels, which of the angels said at any time, Thou art my son, this day I've begotten thee. Do you know where he's drawing from? Hebrews 1 and 5. He's drawing from Psalms 2 when he says, thou art my son, this day I've begotten thee. And you know what Psalms 2 says? I will set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, thou art my son. This day I've begotten thee. So when the Bible says that they've appointed Christ as the heir, they appointed him as king. They're speaking of his kingly authority. The book of Hebrews was a book for our day. It was establishing his kingly authority. It goes right along with Zechariah 4. He is the king. Now the king is the one in operation. Now you need to understand what's about to come upon the body of Christ. It's going to include all the elements of the foundations of the church. The high priest laid the early church, but we're not going to live in that foundation. Do you understand that? We're going to build the final temple is going to be built in this hour, and the final stone is going to be laid by Christ the King. And it's a whole nother operation coming with it. I want you to go back to Zechariah chapter 3 now. These two books are very synonymous with one another. I'm going to give you a mystery here. This lampstand is God's light for the last days. In fact, John saw that lampstand in the right hand of God, burning. And he saw it as things to come in chapter 4. Zechariah 3 and 8. Now I'm going to put both of these together because this is what's about to happen. God is going to do a merge. Of the likes, I don't believe anybody in our present generation has seen what God is going to do. I think it's going to blow every one of our socks off. He's hidden it. It was deeply, deeply, deeply embedded in the mysteries of his word. Oh, the Holy Spirit could unlock a mystery like this. Zechariah 3:8. Hear now, Joshua, high priest, and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, you're symbolic of things to come, and all of you together are going to be instrumental in bringing forth my servant, the branch. Okay? That's what he's saying. The branch hasn't come because the branch is the final part of the tree. God's been building a big old tree. The tree is the temple. Branch is the final thing to go out. Go now to Zechariah chapter 6 because he's going to talk about these men that are wondered at, these symbolic men. And he's also going to talk about this same branch in chapter 6. And he's going to talk about Joshua in chapter 6. It's kind of like chapter 4. He gets in the king anointing, chapter 5, and then chapter 6, he's back on it again. Zechariah 6. Now, just so you know, we're in the same thing. Look at verse 12. Speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch. Remember we talked about the branch in chapter 3? Here it is. He's picking the branch back up again. How does this relate to me? Well, it'll probably be the salvation of your entire household. The fullness of health for your body. A kingly anointing is going to manifest God's wealth transference through his people. And the ability to rule and reign with Christ for a season, the likes of which has never even been seen. That's how it's going to relate to you and your household. Zechariah 6 verse 9. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, take of them of the captivity. Remember the men that were with Joshua? They were a symbolic of things to come. Well, here they are. These men were the captivity. They were entrusted to bring wealth. Where? Out of Babylon. And they were a sign of something to come. So there was a prophetic operation that they were going to do. And that prophetic operation was going to launch this thing. And they were with Joshua, and here are the men that were wondered at. Here are the symbolic men right here in Joshua. And watch what they're going to do here. Amazing. To take of them the captivity, Heldiah, Tobiah, and Yediah, which are come from Babylon, come thou the same day, go in the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah, take the silver and gold. Now this is the wealth that came out of Babylon. They were doing something symbolic for another day. They were doing something symbolic for our day. These men were bringing wealth out of Babylon symbolically. Now watch what they did. He says, take the silver and gold, make crowns. Set them upon who? Joshua, the high priest. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch, the one that's coming to lay the final stone. He shall grow up out of his place, and he will build the temple of the Lord. He shall build the temple. He will bear the glory. He shall sit and rule upon his throne. Look at this. He shall be a priest upon a king's throne. Verse 13. He said what? Be a priest. Do you see what just happened? He took the whole ministry of Joshua, and then he crowned that ministry with a king's crown. He took the high priest, which was the foundation, and he crowned him with a final crown, the kingly authority. And he says, the council of peace, the council of harmony will now be between the two offices. Let me read it again. Verse 13, even he will build the temple of the Lord. He will bear the glory. He will sit. See, the branch is coming. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, the branch is coming. He's the final branch. There's going to be fruit come out of this branch, the likes of which the world has never seen. He said, and this shall bear, this is hundredfold glory right here, shall sit and rule upon his throne. He shall be a priest upon a king's throne. And the council of peace, New Living Translation says like this, there'll be perfect harmony between the two offices. There'll be perfect harmony between the two offices because he's going to bring the other office in. The branch comes forth when the priesthood of the early church is crowned with the kingly authority of the last day church. And it's a bridal company called kings and priests. And they saw this in the book of Revelation. And the elders began to decree, worthy is the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And there will be kings and priests that will rule and reign with God. And it's going to be instigated by an act of God that's going to cause wealth to come out of the Babylonian system. And that wealth is going to crown his priesthood. The greatest single wealth transference of human history is right upon our doorstep right now. Because this move of God will manifest his wealth. It's going to manifest his dominion and his authority in everything that he did in his priesthood as well. The whole weight of the Father's house is going to be on this move. In fact, the goodly war horse, Zechariah chapter 10, that goodly war horse was going to release. That was the same horse of Revelation 6, that first one that comes out, the white horse going forth conquering to conquer. Out of him is going to come forth the headstone, and out of him is going to come forth the nail. And that nail was Isaiah 22 nail. I know I'm getting out there, but just stay with me. Because the full weight, he said, in that prophecy of the nail, he's going to put a new nail in that treasury of the Lord. He fired Shebna. He put Eliakim in. He said, now Eliakim, I'm going to give you the key of David. And I'm going to put you as a sure nail in the Father's house. And I'm going to hang the full weight of the Father's house on you. This last move of God is going to have the full weight of the Father's house laid upon it. And it's coming by a release. Because God's going to forge a crown and the enemy's going to pay for it. He's going to release a seed out of his system. And when that wealth transference, mark my words, when the wealth transference begins, the king-priest government begins. It's going to proceed. The Lord's going to unlock the book. And when he unlocks the book, he's going to open the seal. The white horse is going to run. And when it does, there's going to be a wealth transference. Remember this. Follow me very closely. Under a king-priest government, the wealth always comes first. When Moses went out to build the tabernacle, Egypt paid for it first. When David went to build the tabernacle in Jerusalem, 7 years in Mount Hebron, gathering the wealth first. With Zerubbabel and Joshua foreshadowing this lampstand. They got the wealth of Babylon first. Then they built. In this hour, the wealth will precede it. Then the house will be built. When you see the transference, just know the full weight of the Father's house is coming down. The full inheritance of the right hand of God is coming down. Everyone say it's coming down. The river's coming down. Go to Jeremiah 23 and then I'm going to close. Jeremiah 23 verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. I will raise unto David a righteous branch. See, David, it was the kingly authority. The branch is the king. The branch is the king. See, they were bringing forth the branch by crowning the priesthood. The priesthood alone cannot do the job of the last days. It's got to have the element of the kingly anointing with it. He says, I'll raise unto David the righteous branch, a king that shall reign and prosper. Do you understand that Christ, the early church, they were a victorious, overcoming church, but they were a suffering church. We are going to be a victorious church that's going to get to rule and reign for a season with God to bear the testimony to the nations before the 7-year tribulation begins. I guarantee you every prophet, every apostle, in any generation would gladly be begging to trade places with you in this hour to live in this generation, not only to witness, but to be a part of it. Paul looked into it. He said, let's go. Let's go into perfection. There's another government. Let's leave this foundation. Let's build off of it. But there's another government. It's after the order of Melchizedek. He saw it 7 times. He marked it. Couldn't get there because that wasn't his job. That's our job. But we're going to get some help. Amen? Now, with that, I want to take you right back to Revelation. I'm going to close. This might make a little more sense to you now. Go to Revelation 4 real quick. Verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice that I heard was a trumpet talking with me, said, come up hither. I'm going to show you things to come hereafter. This is John at the end of his life. Amen? This is something to come later. This is coming for our day. And notice what he sees. He sees the lampstand in verse 5. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire, 7 torches burning before the throne. And notice what he said, which are what? The 7 spirits of God. Okay? Now, you remember those 7 eyes in Joshua's stone? You remember all that? In Jerusalem, in Zerubbabel building with the 7? Now, he sees the lampstand as the whole. In chapter 5, he's going to see the same lampstand, but he's going to see the 2 parts of it. The 2 parts we've been talking about. Okay? He's going to see the same lampstand, but this time he's going to see the 2 operations of the lampstand. Chapter 5. And one of the elders, notice the 2 offices here. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. So what's the first one they said here? The king, the lion, okay? The lion, but then it goes into his other office. He says, and behold, in the midst of the throne, verse 6, the 4 beasts, in the midst of the elders, a lamb that had been slain. You had the lion, the king, the office, look at me. Then you had the lamb. That was the high priest. You see that? Both offices mentioned in those 2 verses. And he also shows you both operations of the lampstand. Remember the 7 lampstands was the 7 spirits of God? He's going to show you the same lampstand, but now the 2 operations, one of the kingly, one of the priestly. He said, a lamb that had been slain. So you got the lion and the lamb there. The lion having 7 horns, the lamb having 7 eyes. Do you see this? Which are what? The 7 spirits of God. What? Sent forth into all the earth. Remember, all this was to come. This hadn't happened yet. Do you see that? You had the lamb with the 7 eyes. That was the foundation church. Now you have the lion also with it. And the lamb had the seven horns and the seven eyes. It had both operations sitting upon Christ, ready to be released into all the earth. The king, priest, government. Those seven horns are of utmost importance to us. Those seven horns are the perfection of his kingly government, the perfection of dominion, the perfection of power, the perfection, not just wealth, but dominion and the exercising of kingdom authority in all the earth. All of that sitting upon Christ, about to be released into all the earth. Say, get on with it. Hallelujah. In verse 10, and the elders, you know, they're in prayer and they're collecting the prayers of the saints. They're collecting the incense of the saints. The elders, they have bowls in their hands. And they're collecting the incense of the saints that are in the earth. There are saints that are connected and synced up with what's going on in heaven. And Christ is gathering up by the elders the prayers. And then the elders begin to decree, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Now notice what he says in verse 10. And you have made us unto our God. Say, you have made us unto our God. Kings and priests now. And we are going to reign. Say, we are going to reign. We are going to reign. We are going to reign. We're going to reign in the earth. What is yet to come has not happened yet. Joshua is about to be crowned. We are Joshua. The ministry of the early church has been restored. King Jesus has been restoring for 500 years. But now, look at the restoration. From Martin Luther, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the restoration, the charismatic, the teaching, and the prophetic office, the apostolic office is going to restore. And it's going to bear witness again. But it's got another witness. It's going to bear witness of the King. And the full weight of his house is coming down in the earth. The seven horns and the seven eyes, which are the same seven spirits of God, which was also the lampstand in chapter 4. He said, I saw the seven torches, was the seven spirits of God. Now I saw the two operations, the same lampstand, but now I'm seeing the seven horns and seven eyes. I'm seeing the kingly element and the priestly element, which is the seven spirits of God sent forth what? To all the earth. He said, this is coming. We're going to reign as kings and priests. In the next chapter, the Lamb opens the book. They were wanting him to open the book. Where is the Lamb? Open the book! There's a lot of judgment in that book, but that first horse is coming out. And he went forth conquering to conquer. That's us. That's the white horse. Pick that up in Zechariah 10, the goodly war horse. That horse is due to release any minute. That horse, when it releases, whoa, you better get ready. Your life as you know it. All your plans for a forever kingdom in the earth are over. You have a set time of authority. At that time, there's no more sleeping. You'll be held accountable for everything you do. You better get on the train now. Get in position now. Because he is about to release the horse. And when he does, the anointing's coming down. And when the anointing comes down, the bridal company is going to run. The Bible says a company of Judah was going to ride that horse. They're going to run! Say, going to run! The seven horns and the seven eyes, the full weight. And that's why Joel said it like this, and I'll close with this. Be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former reign moderately, the high priest with the seven eyes. But he'll cause you to come down the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, because the latter rain's bringing the headstone. And Christ the King's going to lay the headstone. And the King's coming with seven horns of authority. The perfection of his kingly authority is going to be released by the same Holy Spirit. The seven spirits of God is going to release it upon his bridal company. There is a move of the Holy Spirit that's going to rival and be even greater than that was in the early church. And it's coming down. And we're waiting on it. In any days, the walls could start shaking. They start shaking, heaven's going to announce it, trust me. Because you're going to be the ones to announce it to the world. Do you think God's going to have you announce something like this? Look around you. Do you think this whole city wants to hear something like this? You think he's going to announce these words by just words? It's the Holy Ghost that's coming down. And when he brings the demonstration of the full weight of the Father's house, it will capture the attention. Then you'll say, this is that which was spoken by John. And the Holy Ghost will say, step aside. Step aside. And he's going to bring the full weight of the Father's house with demonstration of the early church and the kingly authority, the final move of God. I don't know if any of us know what that's going to look like fully. Other than you're going to be able to command the nations. You're going to command the fish of the sea. You're going to be a command the earth and its resources to bow at the revealing of the sons of God in the earth. The kingly authority of the joint heirs of Christ, ruling and reigning. And one day you will do more under this move of God than you did in a whole lifetime. That's coming. And the full weight of it's coming. A commission movement. And when it comes, God's going to have somebody to announce it. Probably going to be you, since you know his word now. If you're sleeping right now. What if you were called to have been 120 in the upper room waiting on the first move and you started sleeping? You're hearing things before the body of Christ gets to see it. You're seeing it now by his word. It's coming. Whether you believe it or not, those words are going to happen. And we're getting position. In fact, we're some of those people that are bringing up the prayer for it. That constitution. We're from our heart being prayed up. Bringing the incense up before the throne. The elders are gathering the incense right now. Do you have any idea how close we are? I'm not talking about the Antichrist yet. I'm talking about the white horse. You don't see what's going on in the nations? God has a big, big answer. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Tommy, share this with them.
Pastor prophesied. He said something to me, which was he was really prophesying over me. And that prophecy is for this church. And he says that when you get that breakthrough and you start to understand this in your heart, that it's going to change the way you pray. It's going to change the way you intercede. It's going to change the way that you look at the future. It's going to give you dominion over your flesh. It's going to change the way that you do everything. And when you start getting that revelation and you go back and hear these again, it is completely different. It's amazing. I listened to like six times. And when we did the teaching on wisdom, and I had gone through like six or seven times all the teachings I had on my phone. So I just listened to the verses in the Bible in Proverbs that Pastor taught over. And God said, you've been listening to that like a sluggard, like how it affects the world. Listen to it on how it affects your soul, your spirit man, and your flesh man. And I went through it, and it was a whole new revelation. And then he said, listen to it on how the Holy Spirit interacts with the spirit of the world. And it all applied, and it was a new revelation. And he said, that's what the lampstand is. For those who accept Christ but haven't crossed to, they're still living on milk, they're going to receive everything and all the promises in a worldly way. But those of you that have become spiritual are going to receive it in your spirit against your flesh. And those of you who have dominion over your spirit, when I commission you, you're going to take that lampstand into the world. And that's the kind of revelation, that's the kind of intercession, that's the kind of prayers that we lift up when we start to understand what the pastor's been telling us. And no matter how many times you've heard it, you haven't heard it. At least I haven't. Praise God.